Welcome, everyone. Thanks for joining us for the next episode of our Leveling Up Your Recruitment Strategy series, championing different abilities as opportunities, understanding neurodiversity in the workplace, presented by Human Resources Today and sponsored by Lever. I'm Rayvon, the webinar coordinator of Human Resources Today, and I'm so excited to bring you this fresh session with well-earned insight on neurodiversity in the workplace. I'm really looking forward to speaking today with Janine Dennis and what I'm sure will be a fascinating and amusing conversation. Just so you know, this webinar is Sherman HRCI approved. All attendees that stay for at least 50 minutes will receive an email with the activity IDs within 24 hours. As a reminder, we are recording today's session just in case you have to leave early. So if you missed any episodes in this series, you can go to the series landing page to access them. We're going to be sending that series page link to the chat box right now. Up next, before we go any further, I do want to thank Lever for sponsoring this webinar series and helping us to make it happen. Lever's mission is to offer talent leaders powerful tools to source and build stronger relationships with candidates while providing industry-leading reporting all in one unified TRM platform. Lever supports the hiring needs of over 3,000 companies around the globe, including teams at Netflix, Atlassian, KPMG, and McGraw-Hill Education. Lever is also fiercely committed to building a team culture that celebrates diversity and inclusion. For more information, visit lever.co. Thanks again, Lever. Up next, let's go ahead and get some technical things out the way. Please feel free to ask questions during today's session. You can do so by submitting them into the questions panel on the right side of your screen. Great questions contribute to a great webinar, so don't forget to stick around for a Q&A session to get even more fresh insights from Janine. My wonderful colleague, Tori, will be fielding your questions today. She'll be happy to answer anything you might have. So pull up the questions panel and say hello to let her know that you're listening. Lastly, if you have any audio issues during today's presentation, you can choose to dial in by phone. You can do so by selecting the More button in the upper right portion of your screen and then select the Switch to Phone option. Up next, today we are going to be hearing from Janine Dennis. Janine is the owner and Chief Innovations Officer for Talent Think Innovations, LLC, a multidisciplinary business strategy and management consulting firm. Her career spans over 17 years in HR, talent acquisition, and talent management that has taken her through the world of pharmaceuticals, the arts, K-12 education, technology, private equity, healthcare, staffing, and R&D, just to name a few sectors she's worked in. Janine is a dynamic speaker, entrepreneur, and an important and respected voice, bringing both a human touch and business savvy to the companies and businesses she works with. It is through the trials and tribulations of her career, travels, and her passion for business, technology, digital transformation, and talent management that she created Talent Think Innovations in January 2013. Her aim is to provide practical and sustainable solutions, programs, and strategies that are a catalyst for innovation. Through her work, she's using her experience to get businesses and individuals from surviving to thriving, allowing them to succeed in an age of rapid transformation. And now that I've introduced you all to our esteemed speaker, Janine, go ahead and take it away.
It would help if I took my mute button off, right? It would help if I did that.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, Rayvon, and hello, everybody. Happy Thursday. I'm so happy to be with you all. In fact, it's an honor for me to be with you all today. This work, working in the disability lane, has been really a heart-centered matter for me. So I joined this community probably about 17 years ago. Just because of a job that I was working, and they had a relationship with one of the organizations I'll share with you later. And so I just started going to a few meetings, and the next thing you know, I was on a board, and next thing you know, I was doing all sorts of advocacy for disability. And then obviously later down the pike came, you know, more of a lens for neurodiversity. And so I got into that work as well. So this, what I'm sharing with you, is kind of like a cumulative body of knowledge from my perspective over the course of 17 years. And I'm happy that we're in a place finally where this is a topic. Rayvon and I definitely had an in-depth conversation about how conversations like this are so needed. So Let's go ahead and hop into the presentation. So some years ago, I was at an event called, well, it's actually a month, and I'll talk a little bit about it later, but it's known as the National Disability Employment Awareness Month, and it's every October. And it was my first one. I had gone to it, event that the Viscardi Center was having here in New York, and I had the pleasure of hearing Susan Bruyere speak about, you know, just some of the statistics and her thoughts and her body of work around disability in the workplace. And so she had shared this quote that the goal of employers going forward should be to keep people whole. And it had been many years that I was doing this work, and it just resonated with me. It's like something just kind of clicked, I think, for everybody, but certainly for me, where I was just thinking like, whoa, that's really what we're after here. Like, if we peel back the layers of disability, neurodiversity, any of the marginalized buckets of diversity, what are we really after when we're starting to look at things like the future of work? And I think what we're after now is to keep people whole. I think for a long time, we've been kind of just like inadvertently, but also really intentionally harming people. That's just my opinion, with the ways in which we expect people to show up to work. And so I think we're definitely moving into a paradigm now, certainly since 2020, where we're wanting to, you know, allow the full person to show up to work. So always when I'm having discussions, because I do a lot of work around diversity, inclusion, equity, and belonging, I find that it's important to give the bigger picture before we dive into the actual, you know, slice, I guess, of diversity that we're looking to kind of solve for. I find that people are usually very overwhelmed by these topics because they are larger than life topics and they're really sensitive. But I think if we can all agree on a bigger picture, then sometimes it doesn't feel so ornery. So from my perspective, you know, what we're here to talk about today and what we're talking about when we speak about any kind of any slice of diversity, inclusion, equity, and belonging work is really this matter of the human condition, right? You know, how we all come into this world, how we all navigate this world, and part of the way that we navigate the world is through our work or through our ability to create a career or to be somewhat self-solvent, right, as a human being. So what we're aiming for ultimately is more emotional intelligence, right? We're looking to increase belonging and integration. And when I think for a long time, we were talking about a lot of this work in a way of like assimilation, this thing of making people feel like they're part of some sort of fabric. But I don't think that that quite got to the crux of the issue. What we're really looking for is for people to be fully integrated into their work environments and feel like they are an asset or the asset that they are in the workplace. We're looking to increase connection to work, the work environment. I think we can all agree that those are things that have been lacking. I think you'll find throughout the presentation that a lot of what I'm talking about in terms of how we approach people who are either disabled or, you know, are on the spectrum of any kind of neurodiverse disorder is we're looking to increase empathy, right? Which is being able to not so to put ourselves in someone else's shoes and see things from their perspective and maybe create better experiences for them and less suffering, which leads to happiness, right? Happiness is a fleeting feeling, but I think ultimately what we would like for people to feel when they come into the workplace is some level of happiness or contentment around the work that they're doing. I think that we're also looking to maybe support behavior change. We're always talking about behaviors in the workplace, but like, how do we support that in really like loving and empathetic ways? I think we'll talk about that a little bit. And I also want to point out that there's, I guess, a notion that I've heard through over the years that like, if somebody has a disability or if they are neurodiverse, that perhaps there's no possibility of behavior change. And I don't think that that's exactly true. I think you'll find as you start to do this work that there's a lot of spectrum and there's a lot of gray area. And sure, there are areas where there may never be behavior change, but I think that you'll find that we want to try to support some behavior change where it's possible. The point is not to demand it, which is what we've been doing, but to kind of go at it from a more collaborative and supportive standpoint. And again, we want to reduce things like loneliness, isolation as well. So just some statistics that I want to share with you quickly. I don't think a lot of people know, but there are 1 billion people with disabilities globally. So when you think about that, I think the last time I checked how many people there were in the world, I think there's like 8 to 9 billion. Like, I think we were teetering on 8 billion. So out of 8 billion, there are 1 billion people globally that, you know, we know of, right, that have disabilities. That doesn't even count those that don't feel safe enough to come forward and say that they have disabilities, or maybe the ones that don't seem like they're as conspicuous as others. So that's a lot of people. And so from that standpoint, it's good reason for us to really be looking at this thing critically now and deciding, like, it's high time that, you know, our fellow humans who have disabilities or are neurodiverse are included in the workforce, included in society in meaningful ways. In 2021, the unemployment rate for persons identifying as disabled was 10.1% as compared to 3.9% for persons without a disability. That's stark. And to just give you a snapshot, it's always been like this. So I've been looking at these numbers periodically since like 2005. And that number of 10.1% is the highest I've ever seen it. But also that number has continuously increased since that time. That number's never been below what it is for persons without a disability. And that's a shame, because what does that say to us? It says that our fellow humans or these people are often underemployed, and or what I've seen is that they have to actually drop out of the workforce altogether because they're not either enough opportunities for them, or they're just not any opportunities that are knocking on their door, or people that are seeing them as viable assets to the workforce, excuse me. So what are some of the reasons why that happens? I want to talk a little bit about language and just like how we've gotten here a little bit, and then we'll kind of segue into language that's a little bit more positive. So if there's anything I've heard the most over the last 17 years, it's been fear. People have a fear around people who have disabilities. They have a fear around people who have, you know, if they know that the person is neurodiverse, there's just this stigma. There's a fear that, you know, it's almost in the sense that like they're so delicate, like I don't know how to approach it, or they just have a fear of whatever that, you know, disability or disorder is, period. And it's unfortunate, because I've found that the more you come closer to it and you face that fear, whatever it may be, you'll find that these people are very much like the rest of us. They're just, in my opinion, and the way I like to speak about this stuff, differently abled. I think that when we start talking about disability in a way like what you see on the screen, it's a handicap, it's a disablement, an incapacity, impairment, a defect, an abnormality. I think we've all heard disability spoken about in this way probably for years and years, and maybe even up till now. And so when you make it seem like that, like someone's afflicted, or there's like a disorder or a condition that they can't see, it's like insurmountable. And so, you know, there's nothing more that they can offer the world. I think that's the part where we have to like change our lens and change how we're thinking about things. Because the truth of the matter is we're all differently abled, right? Not to take away from the specific challenges that people with disabilities or neurodiverse people face, right? But like, we're all differently abled. All of us come with different abilities, different ways that we synthesize information, you know, different ways of working. Our work environments may not support us in what we need in order to kind of feel fully integrated in a workplace. But ultimately, I'm sure if I asked several of you, like, if you had it your way, like from an ergonomic standpoint, from a mental, you know, sense.